Faith in the blood and in the name of Jesus. Faith in the blood and in the name of Jesus.
Welcome to Walk in the Blessing, the media outreach of William McDuffie Ministries. Let's join our pastor and teacher, William J. McDuffie.
We're going to start a series tonight. Very excited about it. I'm going to start a series tonight that I know you're ready for. We've been prepared for this for some time, and so we've been preparing over the last few weeks for this very level of instruction, so I know that you will get a great deal out of it. And this is not something that we're going to gain and then we're going to wait and think about for a few days. It's something that we need to move on immediately within the next 24 hours in your individual prayer lives. And then I will say in advance to all of those who are called to intercessions that you immediately incorporate it if you have not already. But it's a two-topic series, and it is getting back to the basics. I think that the Lord is moving us, Seed of Abraham Christian Center, and I believe the global body of Christ, back to the basics. There are things that we have let slip, and I don't mean just the local church, but the body of Christ as a whole has. One of the things that happens when we get new revelation, and I don't know if it's new revelation as much as, for the lack of a better term, re-revelation, things that are already in Scripture, things that have already been established by way of the Word of God. However, somehow they slip from the body, and then the Lord has to reintroduce those things. But what happens very often is that when there's new revelation or re-revelation, we let go of the current revelation. Y'all with me? You know, you're doing this over here, you're doing this, you're doing it, and then there is some new aspect of something, and you embrace the new, and somehow we let the old slip as though they are mutually exclusive, and they're not. The things that are in Scripture, we're required to do all of those things, and those things need to become part of our daily lives, and in particular, our prayer lives. So it's very, very important. So tonight we're going to start a series on faith in the blood and in the name of Jesus. Faith in the blood and in the name of Jesus. Two topics, but we're going to start with the blood of Jesus and walk that out, and we've been talking about that to some degree. Now, faith begins where? Where does faith begin? Where the will of God is known. Praise the Lord. So that means that we can only believe the word to the extent that we understand the word. Well, let's put it in light of what we've been talking about on Friday night, that there is a difference between knowing and believing. But we have to first know, because you cannot believe what you do not know. But simply knowing is not enough. Is that right? Okay. So what happens? Let's look at it slightly from a different angle, the opposite angle. We talked about knowing something but not believing, but let's talk about the danger in trying to believe something that we don't know. Amen. The danger in that is simply this. When I or any one of us attempts to believe something or to put something into practice that we do not know or understand, then we become a victim to the enemy immediately. Now, why do we become a victim to the enemy? Because the scripture tells us in Revelation chapter 12 that he deceives the whole world. His whole mission is deception, is to trick. Now, one of the methods that he uses to trick is confusion. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. So why is confusion such an excellent tool by the enemy? Because confusion can only happen when someone does not know in their knower that they know. See, the only way a person could be confused about their sexuality is they don't know. They don't know what the scripture says. They don't know what the requirements are from God. And so they're confused. There is no confusion. There can be no, or should be no, confusion in any way, shape, or form. Does that make sense? So why confusion works as an effective tool by the enemy is, generally speaking, a person who is confused is in one or two extremes. They don't believe anything, or they try to believe everything. They try to believe both extremes on an issue. And because they try to believe both, they vacillate between the two. And because they vacillate between the two, they can't believe light and darkness. They can't believe sin and holiness. You can't believe both of those. You understand what I'm saying? You can't put your faith in both. You can only put your faith in one or the other. And this is exactly the challenge that comes up. And the enemy uses that when people don't know. Now, when a person does not fully understand or know something, say, for example, they're pleading the blood of Jesus, but they don't understand what the blood is for, then they can be deceived. Because someone can come along and say, you know what, that's not even scriptural. And they don't know because if it's anything like how I grew up, I just grew up doing what those before me did. They never told me why we did it. Amen. And so because they didn't tell me why, when I ran into somebody that told me that it was wrong, the only thing I could say was my pastor does or says. I don't have the word. And I'm going to tell you something. You run into some people out there, you'd be surprised. I was, at least. The numbers of people who do not believe in Jesus but know the Bible from front to back. I mean, I'm surprised the number of, so you know, Muslims who have read this and will beat you upside your head when you can't explain why you believe what you believe. And they'll start pulling stuff out of context, and if you don't know what the word is, you'll be confused. I've seen it, you know. So that's why we take the time here to make sure you turn to the scriptures, you see the scriptures for yourself, because you have to know this. You understand what I'm saying? You have to know it. Now, we often, probably all the time, we end our prayers saying what? In Jesus' name. And I'm not going to ask you tonight, but I would venture to tell you that most people cannot articulate why. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Why do we pray in Jesus' name? But we do it. We just say in Jesus' name. Now, because a person who has been taught to pray in Jesus' name may not understand why we pray in Jesus' name, they may go someplace else and hear somebody end a prayer with, for the Lord's sake, or for your sake. Anybody ever heard a prayer end like that? I have. That's just religion. It's nowhere in Scripture. But now, how do I know the difference? How do I know? Well, if I don't know why, if I don't know what the scriptural standard is, then it's hard for my belief to take hold. Even if I can release faith, because I accept that as fact, the enemy will come. Now, the word Babylon comes from the word Babel, which means confusion. And the world system out there, God calls it Babylon. The Holy Spirit calls it. He says that it's a ball of confusion. That's all it is. It's confusion out there. And so the world system is based and predicated on confusion. And that's what happens with people, especially believers, young believers in particular, who try to eat from lots of tables. You know, some people think that, you know, you just ought to go to every Bible study you can go to. And everybody who says they're a believer, you should just let them speak into your life. And you'll end up confused. Trust me on that. You'll end up confused. Just because a building has a cross on it doesn't mean, it doesn't mean those people are not born again, but it doesn't mean they have revelation, knowledge, and truth. And that's why we encourage you to look for fruit. There are signs that ought to follow the preaching of the word. And if you don't see any fruit, you don't see manifestation, then you should have some idea that that may not be the place for you. But when you're a young Christian, I will tell you, this ought to be the primary brook. No, this ought to be the only brook that you're drinking from until you get enough knowledge to be able to go out there and be able to really deal with things. I turn the television on a regular basis, and there is junk on Christian television. Just absolute foolishness. Just complete foolishness on television. on the different Christian networks. Just because somebody can pay the fee to go on TV doesn't mean it's of God. Amen. That's why you need to know the word. Amen. And until you do, it's really important to stay close to home. Amen. Because otherwise you can end up confused. And so you'll be one place where they teach on the blood of Jesus. And listen to me, I'm not making this up. There are whole denominations that have taken the teaching and the doctrine of the blood out of their doctrine, their teaching altogether. There's a denomination out there that has taken all the songs about the blood of Jesus and taken them all out of their repertoire of songs because they believe that it's scary for children. It'll scare the babies if you talk about blood. No, that's not why they did it. They did it because they gave in to the devil. And the devil knows he has no defense against the blood of Jesus. He has no defense against the blood of Jesus. Now, this is the thing that's important, is because the name is applicable in everything, whether I am or we are requesting from heaven or we are commanding in the earth. But the blood is slightly different. We don't need to command the blood to heaven. We just need to understand why there's the blood. And we use it as a defensive tool and offensive tool against evil. And that's why the devil. I was studying this yesterday. And as I was studying, I felt fear come on me. Now, I know it wasn't my fear because I'm not scared. Why would I be scared? And I heard in my spirit, it's not your fear you sense. It's the devil's fear you sense. Because evil does not want you to know some very important things. Because if you don't know, you can be taken advantage of. That's why we take the time here to teach. Not only to preach and to exalt, that's wonderful, but we need to be able to teach so that people have a thorough understanding. So we want to start tonight just talking about the blood. Now, we have been talking about that, and you know that the primary purpose of the blood is what? What is the primary purpose of the blood? Primary purpose is to deal with sin. Consequently, to deal with the consequences of sin. Right? That's the purpose of the blood. The Bible says that in due time, when we were evil, when we were separated from God, in due time, Christ died. The purpose of him shedding his blood was redemption. Now, write that in your notes, redemption. When we think about the blood, the first thing we think about is redemption. Now, the word redemption means to buy back, but we have to understand it in the fullest extent. We're going to deal with this more on Sunday, I believe, but we have to deal with it in the fullest extent. Redemption is really about putting things back in its original state or order. And so the primary purpose, because the thing that separated mankind from God was what? Was sin. And so God had a plan to eradicate sin, therefore eradicate the consequences of sin. What's the primary consequence of sin? Say it. Death. The Bible says that sin entered the world through disobedience, through one man, and death by sin. Death came into the earth by way of sin. Sin came by disobedience to the word. Right? So when we think about redemption, or we think about the blood, we think about redemption. That means if we are operating under the understanding of the blood, we cannot be in the place where we were before the blood. Does that make sense? When we understand redemption and we understand the blood, we know that we cannot be in the place we were before the blood came. Before the blood came, man was isolated from God completely. Although God loved mankind, man was isolated from God. And death reigned, the Bible said. Death wasn't just in the earth. Death had complete, unchecked authority in the earth. But when the blood of Jesus was shed, those who have faith in Jesus now can believe or plead the blood of Jesus as a reminder to themselves and to evil that they are not under the control of death, sin, poverty, sickness, disease anymore. That doesn't mean those things won't come against them, but the person who understands that they are covered by the blood and they remain in that covered state, they know they have a legal right to come from under any oppression that comes from darkness. Now, this is important because the deceiver will do everything he can to get you to believe that you have earned this curse. That doesn't mean that a person may not have done something that opened themselves. But whether I do or not, because I am the righteousness of God, I don't have to stay in that condition. I can close the door. And then that thing has no right. But if we don't know that, because it's only to the extent that we know, the Bible says that the devil is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Who are the people that he can devour? The people who don't know and don't believe what God's word says. So, it's important for us to understand this now. When we talk about the blood of Jesus, we understand that now, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Jesus is our Passover. And what was the purpose of the Passover? To protect those who were covered by the blood from the destroyer. Now, Hebrews chapter 9, we looked at it, says that the law was given, or the law rather was a foreshadow of the good things to come. So the reason why God uses Israel and the law is to explain to mankind this very intricate plan that he has in place and exists before the foundation of the world. The Bible says that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. That means that blood redemption is already a plan of God before there's any blood in the universe. So he has a plan. And the plan is that we will overcome the enemy, the deceiver, the accuser of the brethren, by or because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of our testimony, and a total life commitment to God and his word. Those three things put us in a place where we are undefeatable, because there's only one person or entity or group in the universe who wants our defeat. The Bible says that God is for us, and if God is for us, so God is not ever going to be part of your defeat or my defeat. There's only one entity in the universe trying to defeat us. And God has given us the tools that put us in a place where we always win. But if we don't understand or know what the tools are, we are not taught in those things, then I don't know about you. I've been down this road. I'll start something, but because I don't really understand it, before long, it's over. I'll start praying in the name of Jesus and then stop. You know, and I'll start pleading the blood of Jesus because I didn't understand, then I stop. Because I didn't understand it. But once I understood it, then I understand the importance of maintaining this. Now, you often hear me talk about things from tradition that we needed to get away from, that were just foolishness, and we needed to get away from. But that does not mean everything that comes from those who came before us, the old timers, those who were there at Azusa and those since that time. It doesn't mean everything was wrong. A matter of fact, I believe the very essence, the very foundation was correct. But because people did not understand it didn't take very long before tradition got in there. And now we were doing things out of tradition and out of fear and had no understanding of it. All right. Now, I believe that the old folks, we'll call them the old folks. There are most of them in heaven. There's very few 100 and 120 year old folks in the earth. They understood the power in the blood of Jesus. Anybody grow up in a church where you had some older folks in there and they, man, every prayer, every song was about the blood. Oh, the blood done signed my name. What shall wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There were songs after song after song that dealt with the blood of Jesus. And there's a reason why, because there are some things that cannot manifest fully in the earth where the blood is not applied. And so we, because I know that Seed of Abraham is part of God's end time push. I know we are. We're going to get back to the basics. We're not going to lose what we've learned, but we're going to incorporate our confession and our speaking to things that be not as though they were with the blood and the name of Jesus. You with me? All right. Now, remember Hebrews chapter 9 says that the Old Testament, and when it talks about the law there, it's not talking about the Ten Commandments there. It's talking about the law in Moses, the first five books of the Bible. Those were written as a shadow, foreshadowing of the good things to come. So now let's look in Exodus chapter 21. Remember now, it's going to foreshadow something. Say foreshadow. Foreshadow. Now, what does it mean to foreshadow? Let me make sure we're on the same sheet. What does it mean to foreshadow? It's an example of something that is coming, right? A matter of fact, another scripture says, I think it's in 2 Corinthians, it says that everything that is written in scripture is for our example. All right. I'm sorry, I said 21. It's Exodus chapter 29, verse 20. Exodus 29, verse 20. All right. Now, God gives Moses specific instruction as to how to consecrate the priesthood. And the initial priests are from the lineage of Aaron. Aaron is the high priest and his sons are priests. And so God separates them out, consecrates them out, and he tells Moses what needs to be done for this to happen. Okay? And in verse 20, he says, you shall slaughter the ram and take some of its blood, say the blood, and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear and on the lobes of his son's right ears and on the thumbs of their right hands and on the big toes of their right feet and sprinkle the rest of the blood around the altar. Now, what altar are we talking about? You remember? Where the ark is. Remember that? Then you shall take some of the blood that is on the altar and some of the anointing oil. Now, I want you to see blood. And then what else does he mention here? Anointing oil. Now, for the sake of time, what does the oil always represent? Anybody? The Holy Spirit. Wherever you see oil, that is a type. I like to think of it this way, kind of like a placeholder. Until the fullness of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we see anointing oil. We see anything that deals with anointing or with oil dealing with the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. So he says, you shall take some of the blood. Now, the blood represents whom? Jesus, second person. You shall take some of the blood that is on the altar and some of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and on his garments and on his son's garments with him. So he and his garments shall be consecrated, as well as his sons and all and his sons' garments with him. So the first thing we see is blood. The second thing we see is oil. First thing we see is second thing we see. All right, now before I finish that point, he's talking to Moses about how to establish the priesthood. Remember, the priesthood is a foreshadowing of something to come. Better yet, someone or someone's to come. Well, let's look real quick and see who these someones are. All right. Come over here to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, But you, who's he talking to? Amen. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. You see that? All right, just for the sake of time, we're not going to finish that verse. Come on, Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. It's almost the exact same verbiage that John uses. It says, referring to Jesus in verse 6, it refers, well, let's start at verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. Do you see that connection? The purpose of the blood is to eradicate and deal with the sin issue. Amen? All right. Then, verse 6, and he made us, who is us? He made us to be a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. Do you see that? The King James says he made us kings and priests. And so whether he made us kings and priests or a kingdom priest, the one thing that is consistent is that we are priests. The purpose of priests are to serve God exclusively. That's what priests do. Priests serve God. We, in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, one tribe are the priests, but in the New Testament, every believer is a priest in the sense that we all have access to God, we all serve God, we all operate and use the blood of Jesus, whereas in the Old Testament, only the priest, and specifically the high priest, dealt with the administration of blood. But in the New Testament, we have a different high priest. We've looked at that in Hebrews chapter 3. Who is our high priest? Jesus is the high priest, and we are his priest.
Well, my beloved partner, that's it for this teaching session. Did you get something out of this message? I pray that you did. I count it a distinct privilege and an honor to call you friend, and I look forward to hearing from you, so write me. Yvette and I love you dearly, and we pray for you constantly. Until next time, this is Pastor William McDuffie reminding you that Jesus is Lord, so you ought to walk in the blessing.
You've been listening to Walk in the Blessing, the media outreach of William McDuffie Ministries. Thank you for your generous financial contribution. It is because of you, our covenant partner, that we are reaching people around the world for Jesus Christ. We would like to extend to you another opportunity to sow into this ministry, which is indeed good ground. If you would like to sow a tax-deductible contribution, please write us at William McDuffie Ministries, P.O. Box 2368, Sierra Vista, Arizona, 85636-2368. That's William McDuffie Ministries, P.O. Box 2368, Sierra Vista, Arizona, 85636-2368. And as always, walk in the blessing. Keep on walking.